the Award Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 206 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh my God! We've got the duo known as Future Folk going to be joining us shortly. Nils and Kevin, or not Kevin? I keep on calling him Kevin. His name is actually Jay. Nils and Jay, General Trius and the Mighty Kevin, going to be joining us here shortly on the Air Raid Podcast. Oh my God, man! I had such a great time talking with these guys. It was so much fun. I don't know if you guys have seen Future Folk yet. Have you? It's amazing. It's such a great movie. It's very heartwarming, and it's fun, and it's funny. Dee Snider of Twisted Sister is in the movie, man. It's great. It's great. It's so good. At one point during our chat, I find out that Jay Klates, the guy who plays the Mighty Kevin, is actually Lester on GTA Grand Theft Auto 5, one of my favorite video games. He's one of the main characters on this video game that I've been playing forever. Or since it came out. Not forever. It hasn't been out forever. It's only been out for maybe a year and a half, I guess. But he's one of the freaking guys. And they suit him up, you know, with all the little balls and stuff. And they motion capture his body. And they even made his face on the video game. And then once he said that, I was like, holy smokes, it's totally him. It's crazy. But Nils and Jay, two very, very nice guys in this movie called Future Folk that you can find if you have a Netflix account. You can stream it right on Netflix. It's a great movie. It's a great movie. And they are touring right now as part of this DoStuffMedia.com. Is that what it is? DoStuffMedia.com? I can't remember. DoStuffMedia. Look it up. They've got a bunch of these great things going on in different cities around the country, like Do 206 here in Seattle, for example, which I am a part of. I go on that website every week, and I pick out a bunch of shows. Some of which I'm going to go to, some of which I'm just highly recommending that you should go to and see. And that's the thing, man. It's just this one big calendar for all sorts of events that are going on in these different areas. Like Do 206 is just all these events that are happening in Seattle, and you can go and check them out. And Future Folk is on a tour of all the Do Stuff cities in the country right now. Look it up, see where they're at. Let's see if we can look it up, shall we? Shall we? All right, let's do that. They were in Boston. Oh, they're gonna be in Boston on the 22nd. Yeah, dude, that's tomorrow, that's Tuesday. Oh, that's gonna be fun, man. It's really fun. They're doing these, they're showing the movie, and then they're playing a set. They're gonna be in New York on the 23rd, Dallas on August 5th, and Austin, Texas on August 7th. So make sure you catch these guys, because they're just fantastic people and very, very talented on top of that. So go and check that out. You can also check out the website, futurefolk.com. That's futurefolk.com. All right. So folks, how was your week? Mine was pretty good. We've got a couple of emails that we got to get to concerning the episode last week, where I told the story of how I saw this woman crawling into this big, like, you know, 5.5, 6 foot tall clothing donation box on a real hot day, and she slid in and got herself caught, and I had to pull over and kind of take her out of there, and it was kind of a traumatic experience for her. Because it left some, it maimed her leg and, you know, just made me think about life a little bit, right? I was worried that episode last week was going to come across cheesy, but we got a lot of really great responses, and I'd like to read you guys a couple of them, because I was worried that it was going to come across cheesy. I was also worried that it was going to come across as boastful, as a couple people had, not necessarily boastful, but, like, I don't know. With an agenda, right? To make myself look good. But we got a couple, you know, people signed on to Facebook and gave me what for in there. And the message, some couple people messaged me, and then a couple people posted some kind of nasty stuff on the timeline, which I deleted. Yeah, it sounds like the people that did listen to the show last week had some great things to say, and here's a couple of them. This one from Mike in Austin, Texas. This week's story touched me. You are a solid dude. Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you so much. That's actually Mike from the Takedown podcast, everybody. Mike Frizzell. And he's a solid dude as well. He's a solid dude as well. I actually went on their show, the Takedown podcast, a couple weeks ago, and you can go and check that out. Takedownpodcast.com? Is that what? I don't have it pulled up. I'm sorry, Mike. Just look it up on Google. That's how you find stuff these days. That's right. This one, let's see. That was a great story. This one, this is a good email. I'll just read it. Maybe I'll just change the name. I'll just change the name on this. That was a great story about the woman in the donation box this week. At one point in my own life, I was in a similar place in life where I desperately needed help. It was an embarrassing time, and I got the feeling like I was worthless from many people who would pass by me and try to avoid looking. People are quick to judge someone that they don't know anything about, so it was really cool and good to hear you say that you wanted to show compassion and not judge her for where she was at. Because you don't know her past. Love the show. Thank you for this week's episode. That was Sean from Seattle, Washington. Oh, that'll be fine. It'll be fine. If you email me, I'm mostly sometimes I will read these emails online. It's just Sean from Seattle, Washington. Let's see the next. Thank you, Sean. And I'm glad that you are alluding to that you're doing better now. So that's a good thing, man. That's a good thing. That was in response to a thing that I said on last week's episode about, you know, we should stop getting into the practice of judging people because we don't know their past, right? We try to like transfix these stories that we make in our head about people, whether it's drugs or, you know, they're just a terrible person, but we don't know how somebody got there, right? I mean, bad parenting, you know, is a factor. Like, you know, they weren't raised like some of us were, you know, in good households. Maybe they lost their job and, you know, their bills just stacked up. It's really expensive to live in a city, guys. It's expensive to live anywhere, right? You don't know. You just don't know. So show compassion and don't judge somebody by just, you know, inserting your own story, right? So that's what Sean was writing about. Let's see, listener Chandra, this was an interesting one. I don't know really how to take this, but let's try it. Let's try it out, shall we? It sounds to me like you were supposed to be there right at that time. Why else would you stop for gas when you already had half a tank? By the way, I don't think your telling of the story sounded boastful at all. Very intriguing episode, Chandra from Seattle, Washington. Let's see. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if there's a, you know, a big hand guiding us around. I'm not sure. I believe that. It just, you know, it's coincidence. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of stuff going on at all times in this world, right? And there's a lot of people in this world as well. I think coincidence is a real thing, man. I don't know if it's a I don't know if I necessarily prescribe to a big hand kind of guiding me and making me stop to fill up my tank, even though I had half a tank. What it was going through my mind was like, might as well just fill it up right now, because you're gonna be using your scooter all weekend, and you don't wanna run out. So that was why I filled it up, even though I had half a tank. But to each their own, right? Yeah. But thank you so much, Chandra. Thank you guys for listening. Let's see, and we got a couple more, but we gotta keep on moving, man. We gotta keep on moving. But thank you, everybody who reached out and emailed us this week. I really do appreciate it. Let's see, what else, man? We've got a packed week this week, guys. Let me tell you about this. Before we get into our first musical break, remember, Timber Music Festival is this weekend. I am going to be there on Friday and Saturday, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be bringing Jay Maskus, the guy responsible for Dinosaur Jr., up to the stage. I mean, that's going to be great. I hope he's nice. I hope he's nice. I've heard stories. But we'll be there. Carnation, Washington. Going on July 24th, 25th, and 26th, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you guys can join me. And congratulations to Courtney Westby, who won our ticket giveaway for all 3 days and camping with her and a friend out at Timber at Carnation, Washington. That's freaking great, man. She finally got in touch, and we got her the tickets, I hope. Courtney, if there's any problem with that, please email us, and we'll get things in order, won't we? Yeah, we'll do that. Make sure you get those tickets. Okay. The other thing, which is awesome, is that I will be emceeing the Quiet Ones' final show. The Quiet Ones, great band here in Seattle, along with Boat and Marty Marquis of the Blitz and Trapper. They're going to be there at Crocodile Cafe, or not, it's not Crocodile Cafe anymore. It's just the Crocodile. Yeah, that's right. Here in Seattle, Thursday, July 24th, show starts at 8 p.m. or doors are at 8 p.m. And it's $8 in advance, $10 at the door. So make sure you get those tickets right now, people. It's going to be a great show. We're even going to have something from Ira Glass. He's going to do a reading of one of the worst freaking emails that I have ever read. The most hateful email anybody has ever received, I'm convinced, as read by Ira Glass there at the Crocodile. So come and join us, won't you? It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be giving away a whole bunch of Quiet Ones merch, and you want to get that stuff, man, because this band is so good. The Quiet Ones are amazing, and it's really sad to see them go. But like I said last week, awesome to get to have the chance to be a part of this final show. This is one band that didn't get a lot of press. We tried to do it here at Air Raid, and you know, they just didn't find their niche here in Seattle, and I don't know why. For the life of me, I can't figure out why. But they are great people. They're a great band, and you're gonna want to really come and see this final show, because they're amazing live as well. So don't miss it. The Quiet Ones' final show with Boat and Marty Marquis of Blitz and Trapper, Thursday, July 24th, 8 p.m., $8 in advance, and you can get tickets at thecrocodile.com, www.thecrocodile.com, and go to the events calendar and check it out. Come and join me, will ya? I'll be emceeing the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Giving away a whole bunch of stuff, man. Whole bunch of stuff. All right, one more plug. Remember, Naked City Brewery, man, helps us keep the lights on here in the backyard. So visit them as well, nakedcitybrewing.com. All right, let's go with our first musical break. This is Future Folk off of their album that is to accompany the film called Future Folk, Volume 1. This song is called Chromosome Z, and we'll be right back with Nils and Jay of Future Folk, the movie and the band. The movie and the band! Chromosome Z. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Posse podcast for your ears. I gotta stop drinking this Naked City brew before I start recording this show. That would be a good thing. All right, we'll be right back.
Except for our Chromosome Z. We're not disagreeing that we're not human beings, 'cause y'all got one liver we got 16. Drink with us and you'll see we're the same except for chromosome Z. We're more alike than we're not. One chromosome ain't a lot. Put them together, you got chromosomes X, Y, and Z. Simply won't bicker if you say that we're not the same. Cause our blood runs thicker and moves backwards throughout our veins. We're not disagreeing that we got different genes. Cause we got a glornic and y'all got a spleen. Bleed with us and you'll see we're the same except for chromosome Z. We're more alike than we're not. One chromosome ain't a lot. Put 'em together, you got chromosomes X, Y, and Z.
North Seattle. Super nice neighborhood, and just, I mean, it's fucking great.
Yeah, we were staying
in
West Seattle.
Okay,
and like,
yeah.
So it's like kind of suburbs, but it's like on this hill, and you can see out into the Puget Sound and Vashon Island. And granted, it's been sunny and awesome weather-wise, so I don't think it's like a totally realistic view of Seattle. But yeah, my wife and I, we have a city crush on Seattle.
And where do you guys hail from originally?
This is Nils. I grew up in Connecticut, and then I went to school in Boston, and I moved to New York City in 2003, and I currently live in Brooklyn.
Awesome. Jay?
I was born in Georgia, and that's where most of my family's at now.
Hold it a little closer to your face hole.
My face hole. I was born in Georgia, and that's where most of my family's at now, but I grew up mostly in Jacksonville, Florida.
So you're kind of used to this heat, right?
Oh, this is nothing, man.
Yeah, right?
This is nothing. But I went to school, undergrad in Pennsylvania, and then grad school in Cambridge, and then have lived in New York for ever since, about 11 years.
So Nils and Jay, together, you guys make up Future Folk.
Hondo.
Hondo. I love the movie, by the way.
Thanks, man.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan, so this is pretty cool to be hanging out with you guys. But how did the music started first, right?
That's
the
right.
The band was first.
The band came before the film. We initially met through a friend who I went to college with, and Nils had worked with in Boston for a while. And then there came a point when we all lived in New York, and we met through our buddy, and we knew we wanted to do something kind of creative and fun together, the three of us, and we started doing a off-Broadway show called Who is Wilford Brimley, the musical, in this little theater in Brooklyn, and had a lot of fun doing that. And when we were finished,
can I just interject?
Yeah, please.
What the hell was that play about?
you know who Wilford Brimley is?
Of course,
right?
I know. Yeah,
diabetes.
What was that? What was that show? Yeah, and Quaker Oats. What was the show that he was on back in the 80s with Corky? Our House? Was it Our House?
Yeah, I think it was Our House.
That might be right.
Okay, yeah. Because that was the...
I always
that
want
was
to
like
say
the...
Little House on the Prairie, but it's not Little House on the Prairie. It's something else about a house.
You could agree in Little House on the Prairie is the store owner.
Right.
The store owner would have been the key role for Brims and Little House, yeah. Very avuncular and grumpy.
Sure, sure. I always remember one episode in particular. I know that my parents basically made me watch that show.
Sure.
Back in the 80s.
Sure.
And I remember I think
everybody has that experience of having their parents sit them down and say, you're old enough now, you're going to watch Our House.
Yeah, totally.
Fucking weirdos. but I remember one episode in particular, and it was they were up in like a little Cessna plane.
Oh, dear.
And Wilford Brimley had taken his, I don't know if it was his granddaughter or niece or whoever it was, up in this plane. And meanwhile, down on the ground, there was a massive earthquake happening. And up in the air, they didn't know.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that, like, as a kid, that blew my mind apart. Because I was like, well, why doesn't it affect the airplane?
Sure.
You know?
It's like jumping up on a train.
Yeah.
Except completely different. So what happened? They landed and...
They landed and everything was a mess.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, yeah. And still to this day, I'm a geologist now for my day job, and I still don't know how that works.
Ah.
Really?
No, I'm just... I am a geologist. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I do know how that works, yeah, yeah. They're in the air. They're not affected by the ground shaking. That's how that works.
Is that how that works?
Wait, what do you do as a geologist? That's awesome.
Well, I don't get into this much on this show, but I make sure other geologists are doing their job right now.
You're a geologist cop.
I am a geologist cop.
Oh my God, yeah. I smell a new series.
I work on TNT. This week on Geologist Cop.
This isn't for Micah.
That just blew the Richter scale way apart.
For Micah is
a wood, I think.
Actually. No,
it's a work, or it's like a plastic
fake
wood.
It's a fake like plastic stuff that people use on like countertops.
Quartz.
There is a mineral called mica.
That's what I'm thinking of.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
That's totally what he meant to say.
Okay, sorry, I got us off track, but
that's what we do.
So, what was this? What was the Wilford Brimley play about?
Well, we had this silly notion that it would be funny to do a whole show dedicated to sort of a B-level actor that people kind of know who he is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We created this completely falsified and fabricated VH1 style behind the music kind of.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You know, rise to fame, loses it all, drinking and drugging and whoring around, finds redemption.
Yeah.
It was, you know, like every behind the music ever is.
Sure, sure.
So we did this one act musical in a little festival at the Brick Theater, which is this really cool little theater in Williamsburg. And ended up having a nice little run with it. We were there doing it on and off for about 3 or 4 months. And sometime after that, Nils and I, you know, we had a great time, had a good rapport. And I had this like 1.5 kind of acoustic space themed songs. And I was messing around with, and I kind of brought it to Nils, knowing that he's a musical genius. And we started screwing around with that. And then it's
so
sort
you
of
actually
hard.
Had, you actually had like kind of a... Almost a, the initial idea for this.
Well,
this
I wouldn't even say that much because I didn't, you know, none of the like Hondo alien like.
Well, sure, yeah.
At some
yeah.
point, it became. Wait a minute, what if we're the aliens? Wait a minute, we should wear space.
Okay, so you just elements. Had so you just had songs just kind of yeah. about science fiction stuff.
Yeah, I like to say I was probably listening to too much David Bowie at the time, okay. So I had this like, I don't know, I just had it in my head, and then we started messing around with it.
Sure,
and.
Sure.
It's hard to remember exactly how it happened. I don't even remember. Like, I couldn't pinpoint the moment where we became future folk. Yeah. I have no idea. But we did. And another fun fact is that our friend John, the guy who introduced us and who we did Brimley with, had been substitute teaching at schools when he first moved to New York, you know, to supplement his income. And one of the things he did with his classes was make little space helmets out of buckets. With the kids. And
really?
He was the one that was like, oh, you dudes should make buckets for your space helmets
buckets.
And showed us how to do it. And that's where that came from. And
that's fantastic.
Yeah, he actually, I think he brought them over one day because after we were doing Brimley, we would have this tradition. When I first moved to New York before I had a job, every Thursday we would get together and just do sort of creative workshopping. And this is what led to the Brimley play. And... You know, so we would continue doing this, and sometimes we would do kind of other little things on those Thursdays, and one day he brought these helmets over, and I think that was kind of the flashpoint where we decided that this was going to, you know, we were going to make these characters, and you know, we sort of evolved this backstory. And it, you know, definitely evolved over time. We had, you know, I mean, honestly, we get asked what the you know, the origin of this band and this concept is, and
we,
you know, it was so organic and so fluid, and obviously at the time there was no sense that anyone would be asking us these kind of questions.
Sure,
10 years later.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, we weren't even really thinking about it. It was just like one of many
things. 10 years ago.
Yeah,
you guys started
this. 2000 and 2004.
Wow.
And, you know, I think we had a, you know, we were doing numerous silly sort of artistic and musical things at the time. I mean, this is the one that just kind of stuck around for some reason, and I couldn't even tell you why that is. But, you know, obviously there's something to it that people react to, and, you know, and here we are.
Yeah. Well, I think it's two things. People love science fiction. Nerds love science fiction.
God bless them.
And nerds love campy, campiness a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not to say that your movie is, like, totally camp, but there's some camp to it, right?
Oh, totally.
Like, buckets for helmets, and then a crazy alien at the end that you have a fist fight with.
Yeah. our sort of thing from the beginning has always been, We always loved the idea of pairing something so ridiculous with something that didn't match. So it was, we're space aliens playing Roots music.
Right.
We're simultaneously being very silly, but we always wanted to make sure to, like, actually be able to play some decent songs.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got to counter that silliness by being able to rock it a little bit.
Sure. Right.
So that kind of,
I think there was also the most important tension point, I think, creatively, is the sort of the irony, sincerity tension point. It's very easy to do irony, but to find a sincerity in there and to try and balance those two things, I think, is the creative challenge. And that's something that I think that we've, you know, it's taken time, it's taken work, but I think we've gotten there. I don't know if that's immodest to say, and perhaps we're still striving. But we're definitely still striving. But, you know, really trying to find something that's not that's not just that joke of the Roots music from outer space with space costumes.
Sure, sure.
To have something genuine underneath that is sort of the trick, right? It's a double surprise. You come out in these outrageous costumes and get people to look at you because you look unusual and you're doing this act.
Right.
And then to serve them up a meal that is, you know, nutritious. Creatively is you know, is I think that what we do, that's special.
Sure. But did it always, I mean, because when you started out, did you have the costumes when you guys started?
Well,
doing like stage,
we've always worn space bucket helmets. We've always worn various, you know, incarnations of the spacesuits. In the beginning, of course, they were red sweatpants and a red t-shirt, and then at some point we
got
like,
so it could,
like,
kind of be, I mean, and, you know, I'm not to like argue with you or anything on that, but that could be a gimmick, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, totally.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a gimmick.
That's the gimmick is the entry point.
Sure.
You know, I think that if we stopped at that, then we wouldn't be around 10 years later.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And did you guys, and I jumped forward a little bit talking about the movie part of the of Future Folk, but when it started and you guys are wearing like sweatpants and things on stage, were you building a following over in New York with that act?
Kind of. I mean, it's definitely been a slow burn, and it continues to be a slow burn, even with the movie.
Here
we are, you know, a year after the theatrical release, 2 years after it was completed, and 3 years after we shot it. Kind of doing a door-to-door, you know, tour. But, you know, initially it was, we would bring our friends to the clubs.
Uh-huh.
And we would do a set at a comedy, you know, a comedy show, or at a musical, you know, like, you know, almost like open mic thing, or a sketch comedy thing. We would sometimes do like the intermission act in there. But we would always, we're lucky in that we have a great core of friends that dubbed this Smack of Jellyfish in New York, that would come out and support us and hoot and holler. And, you know, so those were our fans. And then other people would be sort of curious bystanders. And eventually I think we won people over.
I can just picture like the first kind of non-knowers of this act that show up and just stand in the back going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What's going on?
It's fun. And it's fun to see those people and think in your mind being like, I'm going to win you over.
I have
20 minutes or whatever it is, 40 minutes. You're
gonna dig it. I'm going to blow your mind.
Yeah. You don't know what you're in for. Yeah.
That's great. So when this movie came out, and I'm sorry I'm focusing on this, but I would like to kind of talk about like how the movie came out and then, you know, what it's doing for you guys now, and then kind of work our way into talking about both of your lives just to get it over with, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. But how did the movie come about? Who found you guys and was like, this can be a screenplay?
Well, our very good friends, Jeremy Walker and mm-hmm. John Anderson, Mitchell, they are, I went to college with Jeremy and John, and so we've been friends and cohorts and coworkers for many years, and they're part of that same group of friends that we lovingly refer to ourselves as the Smack of Jellyfish, which mm-hmm. is the scientific term for a group of jellyfish.
Sure.
So... We, you know, they saw the band over the years develop and grow, and, you know, they were at all the weird gigs we would play in little comedy clubs and bars on the Lower East Side in Brooklyn. And they're filmmakers and very good filmmakers, and they have been working on one big project, and for various reasons it kind of fell through, and then, as they like to say, they sort of wanted to take stock of what they had, and they knew Future Folk from over the years, and they came to us and said, guys, we want to make a movie about Future Folk, and basically gave us the greatest, most awesome gift anybody could.
Yeah.
And they're a team. John writes, Jeremy produces, and then they co-direct, the two of them together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, of course, we were very enthusiastic, and the next thing you know, we're making a movie with, you know, all our best buddies.
Yeah.
And Dee Snider.
And Dee Snider.
And Dee Snider. Yeah, how did that happen?
I was doing Rock of Ages.
How did Dee Snider come out?
Yeah, he's a great dude. I was doing Rock of Ages with him on Broadway for a while.
Really?
And, you know, oddly enough, he played the bar owner in that. And I was, you know, he and I were buddies in the show. We got to be good friends working on that. And so one day, I read the script and we'd kind of talked about it with the guys. And I came up to his dressing room. I was like, Dee, I got this movie I'm making with my buddies. There's a role for the bar owner. You're perfect. He's like, I'll do it. Let's come on. Let's go. Let's do it. He's like, sight unseen. He was like ready to go.
Because
he's
just great,
he's up for it. You know, he's
that's
that
so
kind of
cool.
dude. He's
What were you doing in Rock of Ages?
I played Lonnie, the sort of narrator.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. On Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
So you are no stranger. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was a tough word to remember, mm-hmm. apparently.
Stranger.
No stranger to the stage.
No, that's what I do, you know, professionally.
That's your job.
Yep.
Right on, man.
A little bit of everything. Done some Broadway shows and guest appearing on Law and Orders and things like that.
Wow.
And, I do a lot of commercial work as well.
Yeah.
TVs and voiceovers.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yep. The most recent Grand Theft Auto. I'm not one of the main three guys, but one of the other mainish characters.
You're shitting me.
Yeah.
Dude,
worked on that.
I loved
years.
That game.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I was Lester.
Yeah, you were Lester.
Yeah.
Shut up! You're kidding.
Yeah.
Fuck.
We're gonna rob a bank.
God, dude, are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. You just blew my mind again. Holy
Happy
smokes!
To do so.
I had no idea. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Great job.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Love that game.
You know, those are you guys gamers at all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, those games are just
unbelievable.
So great.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And that one was like, that one took the cake, man. It was it was so good. The storytelling in it, the voice work. Yeah. And you can't see this home, but I just gave him a point and a look.
Yep.
Like acknowledgement. But yeah, and then just the level construction on that is just amazing.
Yeah, the process of making it was mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Very fun, cool people to work with at Rockstar.
That's cool, man. That's really cool.
For the record, I'm super jealous about his involvement in that game.
I'm super jealous, and I barely know him.
He was under a very tight NDA, so he could never talk about it with me.
Oh, really?
But as soon as the game came out and you know, he was allowed to talk about it. I was like, tell me everything.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. That's like, what do you do, Nils, for your day job?
I'm a creative director at an ad agency.
Oh, okay.
So I originally started out as a graphic designer and animator.
Really?
Yeah.
An animator?
Yeah.
Wow. Would you, any big projects that you worked on?
No, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, have you seen the newest I Can't Believe It's Not Butter website? No, you know.
That kind of animator.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Well, yeah. It was, you know, I did a lot of After Effects.
Oh, you haven't seen Frozen?
Yeah. But yeah, no, so that's, you know, and that's kind of an intense day job. It takes a lot of time and energy. And it's the company I work for, Story Worldwide, is a great company. They actually have an office here in Seattle and as well as in New York.
Oh,
and,
your buddy.
Yeah. I'm back to the city crush. Thinking about it. But they've been awesome. You know, obviously, you know, if you're in a situation like I am, you're pulled in many different directions, and it's always kind of hard to find the balance. You know, I have two small kids and the job and, this project, and you know, it's more, you know, there's a lot going on. So they've been super, they've been just great. They've let me take a little extra time off to do this tour. They've been incredibly supportive about the movie and the band, and I'm very fortunate to be in this position.
One of my favorite questions, because I am a father myself, is how do you juggle tours like this?
Well, all right. So, you know, first of all, when you're juggling kids and anything, the first thing that you sacrifice is sleep, right? Because you take stock of what you have, and that's the first thing to go.
Yeah.
If you know, if what you're doing is important to you. The way I've been doing this tour is, so we're doing ten cities, which is intense, you know, and that's a lot to ask, just in terms of, you know, traveling and being away and so on and so forth. So what I've done is I've actually have my wife and two small kids are coming with me. So they came to Chicago. And they're here with me in Seattle, and tomorrow we fly to San Francisco, and so on. They won't be at all the cities, but that's how I'm doing it. I'm bringing the fam on the road.
Is this kind of the first tour that you've done like this?
Yes, unequivocally.
Yeah. And you've been playing music for a long time.
Yes, I've been playing music for a long time, but I've never done a you know, U.S. tour before. I've gone and played other cities, and you know, I did some stuff in Kansas City a few years back, but this is the first thing of this scale that I've done.
Was this ever the dream?
Yeah,
doing something like this.
Yeah, I mean, this is you know, again, this is the dream.
Yeah.
This was not. I would never have dreamt this specific dream. And if somebody had told me that this was, you know, what it was going to look like for me, I would be overjoyed, but also confused. You know, I mean, the way things kind of worked out with Future Folk, it's weird, right? Like, here we are.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing, like, I feel like if we had planned for this, it never could have happened.
No.
There's a sort of
serendipity.
Right? Yeah, there's a sort of serendipity and a one step at a time thing that's happened with Future Folk that I think is critical to its, you know, whatever formula is making it work. I think if we had planned for any kind of success, it would be, you know, it just wouldn't have happened. There's a sincerity to just doing it for the sake of doing it that I think is what translates.
Sure. And you're enjoying it.
Oh my God.
Oh, right.
I mean, let me tell you, I've used this metaphor before and it may be a little clumsy, but I feel like with something like this, where you write music and you have these characters and you have this idea, it's like putting a message in a bottle and tossing it out to sea. And, you know, you hope to get a response, but you know, if you're a rational person, you know that statistically speaking, that message is going to be lost, and it's great fun writing it and putting it in the bottle and putting it out there. But you're not really like scanning the horizon for the, you know, the response.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think what it feels like on this tour is that there's just hundreds and hundreds of bottles that have all of a sudden come in. I mean, everywhere we go, people are coming to our shows.
They were just standing outside.
Yeah. Wearing our wearing the buckets. We encourage people to come dressed up to our shows, which I think is a lot of fun. Uh-huh. We have instructions on how to make a Hondonian helmet on Tumblr.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. We have this really cool illustration.
That's great.
You know, I mean, it's an incredible affirmation. The one little anecdote, so we were... The second show we did was in Chicago, and we were overwhelmed by the enthusiasm of the audience. And there's a song where there's a little break in the music, and in this particular song, this is just a break for two beats, and I whisper into the mic, "In space." And this has always kind of been a joke between me and Jay, and what I try and do is every time we play it, I will try and say something ridiculous in place of that to make him laugh. But obviously when we do the shows, I do it straight, and I say "in space." But this particular show, it was that break, and I whisper "in space," and I hear a chorus of like four people screaming "in space," and I looked at Jay, and we just had this moment where it was like, holy shit,
this is a real thing.
People know it. Yeah. They know the lyrics, and that to me has been the coolest part of this whole experience.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah.
So Jay, when you like we've hit on, you've done some pretty cool stuff. You've been on stage in front of thousands of people. How does it make you feel doing a project like this? You know, downsizing from what you're probably used to on Broadway, but it's still like this project that you've had 10 years invested in. It's still got to be pretty cool, right?
You know, that's super interesting. You know what? I've honestly never thought of it in that kind of way. I've never thought of it in those terms.
Mm-hmm. Answer the question,
yeah.
Jay.
No. Here's the deal. No. You know what? I'll tell you what the difference is. If I'm up on stage in a Broadway show, typically I'm doing somebody else's material.
Right.
It's a blast. I love it. It's amazing. This doesn't feel like scaling down to me because this is our baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been this amazing ride where for years we were doing this as like a on the side for funsies gig.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd play some gigs and we go months. You know, I'd be in a Broadway show or Nils would be busy having a baby or whatever, you know, any number of things are happening in our lives.
Nils is constantly busy having babies.
Yeah. He's got like 17 babies. That's just the ones I know about.
Yeah, those are just the ones.
Right. Never mind all the women he's given. No. So it's a Hondonian thing. Men have the babies.
Anyway. It's a very junior situation.
Yeah. They're all Nils Jr., every one of them. So, you know, to have this surprise us is so amazing, and I'm so humbled, and my heart is so warmed, and I'm so excited, and I love it so damn much. It almost, don't tell Broadway I said this,
right.
But it almost feels more to me.
Really?
It almost feels like more because we made this weird thing, and people seem to really dig it.
Yeah.
And that is crazy. Like,
well, that makes me happy for humanity because we've been hanging out for a couple hours, and we came back to this scorching hot green room. There's the window sits right above where everybody was lining up around, and you guys were both kind of peeking your heads out and, you know, just like, oh, my God, this is rad. Because there were, you know, it's a full house in there, man.
I mean, it's amazing
and
humbling to see people respond the way that they've responded.
That's very cool. That's very cool. I like that.
Continue to respond amazingly. This thing has had, like we were saying earlier, it's a slow burn. And I mean, every time we think it's done, it just keeps going.
Right,
like something else, you know. We made the movie in the first place. That was ridiculous that would ever happen.
Yeah.
And then it actually got a little bit of a theatrical release. And then it was on demand, you know, through cable. And we thought, my God, it's amazing. What a great life this movie's had. Then it came out on Netflix. That was amazing. Like that, you know.
I want to hit on that. But first, let's go to our second musical break. We're featuring songs from the movie. And just from you guys, because you guys have, there's an album out with the movie that you can buy.
The album is called Future Folk Volume 1. That was a smooth plug, right?
There you go.
It's on iTunes, Amazon, all your e-retailers.
Go buy it. Go buy it. In space. We'll be right back. Oh, what should we play? You guys choose.
How about, let's play Universe Within.
Universe Within.
Yeah.
All right. This is Future Folk, Universe Within. We'll be right back with more The Array Podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
In order to fight, you must find your own light. If you believe your spark's been extinguished, you won't succeed in what you must finish. When all is lost, it's when you begin to reach deep inside and find the universe within. Running high, but my ammo's low. I'm facing beasts sent to enslave me. Last stand on an ice plateau, and backed up to the wall with nowhere else to go. Remembered words that surely saved me. I let loose my light and then kicked ass all night. If you believe your spark's been extinguished, you won't succeed in what you must finish. When all is lost, it's when you begin to reach deep inside and find the universe within.
I mean, we spoke a little bit about there was a small theatrical release for the film.
Yep.
I imagine that small means small, right?
Yeah, it was small.
It was 15 cities.
Yeah, it was maybe a dozen cities.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Very small.
I mean, was there a big roar about it after that, or
no? It was so the thing we had going for us is that we had a lot of great reviews.
Sure.
The theatrical release was great, and we got to travel around a little bit for that. In particular in New York, that was an amazing experience where we did pretty well there. But in terms of just sort of the movie world, it was a little blip on the radar. And while it was, exciting from a sort of a wish fulfillment perspective,
sure,
it did not put us on the map of the sort of the cultural, people. We were still an unknown factor. And then, at the same time, we were out on iTunes, and that was great. And we were their pick of the week 1 week, and that got a lot of eyes, but it was Netflix that was really the sort of the tipping point.
That's what I would think. Because I was telling you guys in the theater before your sound check that when it showed up on Netflix, got this algorithm that goes around and just grabs everything that you've ever watched and puts it into a category.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you guys, your movie has been on my recommendations list for months. And even though I've already watched it, it's still there, right?
I don't think we know exactly why that is. I think the fact that,
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No,
it's
an amazing thing.
Yeah,
I mean, it's an incredible thing. And I think that a lot of... I'm thinking maybe part of that is because we were, in the 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, and they may have some sort of quantitative, thing that pushes it up higher. But that, that was huge. And then I hear from people through Facebook and Twitter all the time that, they stumbled upon the movie, and that's such a cool experience too.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a great way. It's cool for me to imagine people experiencing that cold, right? Without any sort of preconceived idea. Because again, going back to what we were talking about before, about sort of this novelty entry point into something that's maybe a little more substantial, you know, our movie poster looks silly, and the movie description looks silly, and I think a lot of people are pleasantly surprised at that, at the sincerity of the movie, and the fact that it's not just a
right.
It's not just a surface level joke movie.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a fear, Jay, that like when you read this script, were you fearful because of the budget that you guys had to work with? Were you fearful of it turning into something like Xena Warrior Princess? Or
that's another dream I have.
No, you know what? No, because that's an issue, right? Like, with a lower budget film, an indie flick, like
the people will do kind of hacky stuff to
slide
to put it together
into real camp real quickly, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, also, you know, I've known John and Jeremy for going on 20 years now.
Sure.
So I know those guys, and they're both serious dudes that handle their business.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's how this thing happened, because that's what those guys do. And I trust them implicitly to do their thing.
Sure.
And they always do. So I never had that fear that it would go that way.
Cool. Cool. Now, would you ever hope to, like, with the music that you guys are playing now, it is kind of a tongue-in-cheek. You guys are singing. They're jokey kind of songs telling a story. Would you ever want to turn that into something a little bit more serious? Would it ever be something that would, like, you know, you would like to be in, like, a regular band?
Sure, we'll be in a regular band, but we're still going to wear the spacesuits.
I don't pick my guitar up unless I'm in my spacesuit.
I mean,
the short answer for me is yes, actually.
Yeah?
But only in the way that, I want to do that, and I also want to make more movies, and I want to do a TV series, and I want to, I want to do it all.
Yeah.
I think we both write other songs and other music,
mm-hmm.
And that we've occasionally played, very, very occasionally.
Yeah.
But, you know, this has been our focus, and for the immediate future, I'm happy as hell for this to be our focus.
Totally. Are you guys continuing to write new future folk songs?
Yes.
And play those at these shows that you're doing?
Yeah, we have a couple new songs, and we'll be playing one or two of them tonight. And for me, it's always kind of germinating in my head ideas for songs. And now that my eldest daughter has turned 5, she's actually a source of inspiration. Just as a quick example, I heard her kind of riffing the other day about a volcano that shoots water out of it. So I'm working on song called H2O Volcano about how rain on Hondo does not come from the clouds, but is shot from volcanos and is very hot and
uncomfortable. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, listen, this sounds so stupid and cliche, but I feel like, you know, a lot of times what people try and do from a creative perspective is get back to that childlike innocence and seeing the world from a, just kind of from like a weird angle and accepting things that seem implausible and bizarre as truth. It almost feels like a second wind for me, you know, to tap into this kind of energy.
Yeah, yeah. Would it ever be conceivable that this would replace your ad agency job?
You know, listen, the dream... That's the dream.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the dream.
I think you're on your way.
I feel like, you know, not that it's a win or lose thing, but I feel like we've already won. You know, like looking out at the people wearing helmets and feeling that response. Of course, you're always hungry for more, and you're looking towards the next. But you know, just so extremely grateful for the way it's played out that it could all end tomorrow, and I would feel like, you know, I was the luckiest guy in the world.
Right.
You
know, right.
I often think in terms of what will happen next for future folk, that, you know, could it go on and be something else or even bigger? Well, stranger things have happened, like future folk making a movie in the first place.
That's totally true.
So you never can tell.
That is a great point,
man. You never can tell.
That is a great point, Lester. Listen, we're going to go rob a bank. Put on your spacesuits. God, I still can't. It's blowing my mind. Oh, my God. I'm going to go home and play it tonight.
Yeah.
I know that guy. So what do your families think about all this?
Mine is very wildly supportive and lovely about it. They're all, oh man, I can hardly go to a family function without my mom going, hey, let's put the History of Future Folk on the TV. And I'm like, Mom, they've all seen it twice now.
I mean, for my parents, it's obviously very exciting. I'm not an actor or anything like that, so I think that this was, you know, this is totally left field for them, and they're you know kind of swept up in the excitement. My father was the one who bought me my first banjo, so that's kind of a nice little thing too that he introduced me into.
That's cool,
to this
man.
World.
Yeah. I bet they're pretty proud.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. I can only imagine when I started this show, my wife was just like, oh, you and your hobby, ha, 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 ha. And now it's turned into a totally different beast. And now she's like...
Now you're like, you're, ha, 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 ha.
Can you watch the kids tonight instead of doing another interview?
No.
Now it's a job.
Yeah. But
well,
you're good at it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. I really appreciate you guys taking time to
talk
with me.
And listen, we've done a number of interviews. This is actually the first one where the interviewee is fully naked, and I thought it was going to be weird. But I'm not even.
It's
I'm like,
hot,
I was like, where
man.
Do I look? But I'm like, it just feels natural. I'm just looking at your eyes.
And where do you work out, by the way?
McDonald's, the parking lot of McDonald's, while I'm scarfing down four breakfast sandwiches,
bench pressing quarter pounders,
right?
Eight at a time.
That's 4 pounds.
That's totally true.
2 pounds.
Somebody did their math. No, I really appreciate you guys coming on. I know it's not always easy, especially when you're on the road, to come and sit down for an extended period of time and
a
chat.
Pleasure, buddy.
But,
a pleasure.
Definitely a lot of fun to chat with you. I love the movie. The music is great, and can't wait to hear more things coming.
Hondo.
Yeah.
Hondo.
Hondo.
Yep.
Hondo. Where can we find more about or out mount more about? I'm going to cut that out.
Yeah.
Where can we find out more about Future Folk?
Probably the best place, we have a website, futurefolk.com. Mm-hmm. That's in pathetic shape. If anybody out there
but it's got tour dates on it, right?
Yeah, if anybody out there is a web developer with tons of free time and on their hand and no need for actual financial compensation, reach out to us. Yeah. The best place to find us, we're on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook / Future Folk Music, and on Twitter, which is future_folk.
There you go.
Is our Twitter handle. So that's kind of where we're you know, driving the conversation, and we're pretty active on those channels.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you're going to San Francisco tomorrow.
That's right.
The show won't be up in time for that. But where are you going to be?
We're
going to
be
next
week? At the Roxy Theater in San Francisco. And I think actually, this whole tour is a result of Do Stuff Media.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've been tremendous, the whole network coming together to make this thing happen. And
yeah, they've been fantastic with us too, man.
Yeah, do 206 here in Seattle, and everywhere we go, it's really cool. They're all, it's an interesting model that they have all these sort of different cells that are localized in each city, but they're they've been working together very fluidly to make this tour happen. We're super grateful.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so
much. Thanks, Aaron. All right.
Nando! Nils, General Treyas, and Jay, who is Kevin. Right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. Destroy population. But when I first laid my eyes on you, I had a change of heart. When it's not night, my sky still fills with light. I see stars when I hold you tight. One bright afternoon, I see stars in the dark heart of a black typhoon. I see stars.
All right. Wasn't that great? Two very, very nice people. Nils and Jay of the movie Future Folk. The music that you've been hearing is available. Go to their website, futurefolk.com.
future-pop.com. The album is called Volume 1. That's it, dude. That's all you get. Future Folk Volume 1. There's going to be more coming from these guys because this is just fantastic. And it's really taken off, man. This has become like a cult following. Check this out. Check this list of stuff out. They have been, like they said, at a bunch of film festivals. They've got an official selection from Los Angeles Film Festival 2012. Best Screenplay at Fantastic Fest Film Festival 2012. Audience Award, Friars Club Comedy Film Festival. Best Feature at Friars Club Comedy Film Festival. And then the Audience Award from Philadelphia Film Festival. I mean, that's a lot of stuff right there, man. That's a lot of little awards for this movie. So go and check it out. Future Folk, it's streaming on Netflix and also available on iTunes and probably just a ton other places. So please, check it out. Check it out! And remember, check us out too, will ya? You can like us on Facebook over at The Air Raid Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, at Air Raid Net on Twitter, and on Instagram. And you can go to our website, www.air-raid.net, and check out all of our archived episodes with people like Macklemore, Death Cab for Cutie, Mudhoney, Presidents of the United States of America, gosh, comedians like Bob Saget, Jim Brewer from SNL. Yeah, that Jim Brewer, also from Half-Baked. I mean, come on, man. Pete Holmes, Mike Birbiglia, all sorts of great stuff there at www.air-raid.net. So please, don't hesitate. Just go and check it out. And tell your friends about us, right? You can also find us on iTunes. If you're there, why don't you give us a little star rating or a review? That would be wonderful. That would be absolutely wonderful. Okay, that's it, folks. That's it for this week. Next week, great, great pop music being made here in Washington, folks. The band The Fame Riot is going to be joining us here in the backyard. Two wonderful people again. So make sure to tune in for that episode 207 next week. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Tell your friends, and watch Future Folk. That's it. All right. We're going to go out today with the song Over the Moon by Future Folk off of their album Volume 1. All right, everybody, have a great week. Of my heart, you opened my eyes and then lit up my skies. I see stars when I hold you tight one bright afternoon. I see stars in the dark heart of a black typhoon. I see stars when I know that I'll be with you soon. I see stars. I see stars. I'm over the moon. You make me see stars.
see stars. I see stars. I see stars.